Hello, hello. Let us arrive. Let us arrive in this moment, in this place, and on this breath. You can all close your eyes. I'll take care of people arriving. And just very gently noticing whatever is available to you to notice. And ever so gently asking yourself, I wonder if I'm in attentionist mode or survivalist mode this moment. Very gentle question and requires a gentle answer. If you are in attentionist mode, see if you can take it 1 degree deeper in there, inviting comfort and ease. And a sense of all as well. If you're in attentionist mode, but are worried about not being in attentionist mode, see if you can just let everything be as it is for the time being and see how that feels. We have names for things that we don't want. We call them bad, ugly, horrible. But let's see what wants to be known by you, even if you're in fear mode right now. So, in this communal setting, while we are all holding the space for ourselves and each other, I want you to very gently ask yourself, I wonder, wherever I am, what wants to be known by me? What information inside of me wants to be known by me? And the more relaxed and at ease you are, the easier it is to find an answer to this question. Now, whatever your answer to that question is, now I want to invite you to come with me and let us go to a different dimension. So, if you call this dimension that we live in the third dimension, let us move to the fifth dimension. And if your mind is wondering what happened to the fort, I'll explain it after the class, after the meditation. In fifth dimension, we have exactly everything that we have in this dimension. We have physicality, We have mentality. We have all these experiences. Except we're much lighter. We don't have the same attachment, the same aversions. We don't have biases. We have preferences. But there is no bad and good. There is no wrong and right, higher and lower. So in this moment, we're just imagining that dimension. The dimension that we really seek when we're in this dimension here, but it's very hard to arrive at or sustain in the state of fear. So right now we're just making up this dimension. From what we know, we're all lighter. There is connection, joy, play, creation, togetherness. There is unity, sharing. There is no less and more. Things just are. People just are. So create a community of your choice in your mind's eye and give attributes to this dimension as you wish, just gently remembering not to take the heaviness that we have here with you. You can pick one event or experience that you've recently had that wasn't that pleasant for you and translate it to the fifth dimension. It could be a sickness, maybe a virus you had. It could be a discussion with a loved one or a colleague, something that didn't go as smoothly as you wished it would. And using your imagination, see how this event experience would translate in the fifth dimension. If you took away the names and labels, the bad and good, if you took away winning and losing, what would this experience be like for you? If unity and togetherness, if joy and playfulness, of creation was your aim, how would that experience be different for you? Now come back to this realm and ask yourself, how could you have used the emotions that you experienced would have been used as information? So where you were, if you were able to imagine it, if that was the goal, that was your intention to arrive at the fifth dimensional experience, how would you have used the information that your emotions were bringing you through this experience in this realm? What were they trying to tell you while you were trying to shut it off or get rid of it or give it labels and names? It may have been a discomfort, may have been unwellness of the body, may have been losing an argument, so to speak. Now, again, very gently and in a friendly way, ask yourself, what does it take for me to go there next time I have an uncomfortable experience, physically, mentally, relationally, professionally? What does it take for me to remember that there is another level of consciousness, another dimension at which I can experience exactly the same thing in a different way? What does it take for me to do this before, during the next experience that I find difficult? And the answer may be different for every person. Just getting curious around that question might be helpful for you to coach yourself. Does it take for me? I wonder. A very gentle question, very friendly question, very supportive question, but also a guiding question. Next time I want to escape from experience that I'm in, so with that sense of fifth dimensional presence, we now arrive back in this third dimensional life and experience. And we stay curious around how can we lead our life in this realm, with these experiences, but with that level of consciousness and awareness. A wonderful live question that we can take throughout our life. We won't be able to do it every time, access it every time, and that's okay. But while the question is alive, the possibilities are much, much higher for us to do that. I suppose that's what they called heaven on earth in a biblical sense. And now we do it in a consciousness sense, in a spiritual and energetic sense. So gently bring your awareness to our group and open your eyes when you're ready to do so. Hello, hello, welcome. Welcome. I received a lot of good feedback from our last recording. Apparently, a lot of people access the recording now that we have the audio recording, and they said to say thank you. Actually, four people with different wording. Thank you to those who are present and ask questions because they found it to be very, very helpful. So I just wanted to relay that question, that comment to all of you, because You are our regulars and you ask a lot of questions, and they benefit apparently. Hi. Who would like to start discussion either about the practice, actually about the practice? Let's start there and then we'll go to lesson five in or any other lessons that is of interest to you.
Okay, I'll go. It was so beautiful when you said to go up to the fifth dimension. I was immediately floating, and just felt so much lighter. Everything felt lighter. And then when you brought us to that place of a situation that came up, it was like I felt the heaviness pull me back down. And this person is so opinionated. I've just seen the disrespect this person has for other people's feelings and things. And so I had to go back to childhood and see this person in that light. And all of a sudden things started to become lighter, and I realized that they were nothing more than a wounded child. And it really helped me just release some of those feelings because they refused to learn to make choices that are better for them and better for everyone. They're stuck. They're so stuck. So it was just beautiful to see this young child just playing and being free. And then the change that happened and where, how it, you know, they became so me-centered. So it was just it was nice to just I go like they're nothing more than a wounded child. It's just
So are you speaking about somebody else that you see as heavy? Is that what who you're referring to? Okay.
I might as well say it's actually my brother. And so it's it's it, you know, because I get upset about things. Like last week we had a memorial dinner for one of my cousins, and he had RSVP'd and then says he can't come at the last minute. And this is not the first time he's done something like this. It's always an excuse. But the fact was that my cousin who flew in from California made all these arrangements, and it was her sister, and paid for the meals. You know, it was at a restaurant. So and then he texts me because I'm like the scapegoat. Tell him I'm sorry I can't make it. After he had RSVP'd, so, and this is not like the first time something like that happened. So it's I have to keep, and it was really funny because what I went back to is when we were like five and he would have been like seven maybe, and we used to play. In the backyard, we dig a big pit and wrap ourselves like the mummy, and one of us would be the mummy. And we'd come out and start chasing all the, you know, all the other friends and stuff. And I said, what happened to that child? What happened to that child that was him? And he's just a whole different person. The world, he thinks everything revolves around him.
So let's come back to
Yeah.
you. So when you see yourself in that realm, in the fifth realm, what happens in you How do you see the person differently? Because I'm more interested in what's going on
Yeah,
inside of you.
yeah, and I think that's it. What happened was to see this person as the wounded child. So in the fifth realm, it was so much lighter when I saw him as a wounded child, and I said, that's what I have to continually go back to. It is whenever something happens, I have to say, he's nothing more than a wounded child.
So, in a sense, if we
Yeah.
translate it to our attentionist world, he
Yeah.
has not activated his choice.
Right.
He's
Exactly.
between his history or maybe dreams,
Yes.
I don't
Oh,
know,
yeah.
whatever it's happening there. So there, he has not, in your view, made the choice to be differently in.
Yeah.
So when we say somebody is wounded child, it means that they have brought their wounds into today's life, to their life, and have not decided yet to make any changes based on their choice, right? That's what.
Right, yeah. I
So
mean,
it
he's
makes
been
it.
like this forever, as far back as I can remember.
Yeah, there's no
That,
ever.
I mean,
Ever does
except
not
for that
exist in this
child,
realm.
except for that childhood, you know.
Yes, he's been there. He's been like this in your view since then. So what I'm trying to do here is to get you out of third dimension the way you see him. And believe me, I had to do that recently a lot with family members whose views, political views, I don't agree with. So it's like, can we see them? Because it's a very difficult thing to not go to them and come back to ourselves. It is so hard. But if I'm in a higher dimension, so let's take it to our lesson. If I'm looking from observation deck, if I am receiving these emotions of being provoked, like the moment you receive, and I can just relate to that, the text is like, I would, did you answer? I would answer and say, please let her or him know directly and not answer after that. So I've done my bit, you
Yeah.
know, to sort of make it happen for the host at least. And that's it. That's my
Yeah.
job.
I know that's what I should have done, but I just went okay because I was so upset that I didn't want to say anything, that I just said okay. And
Did you consider not answering?
I did because I've done that to him before where I didn't answer. When he's asked me to, excuse himself from something, like,
Which one
well, I
would have
can't do that.
served you better?
Well, of course, saying, I know that it's that fine line of do I say what I really feel, which is you need to text the person yourself or call them, which would have served, served me better because it causes me to hang on a little bit to the fact that I just gave in to him by saying, okay. Oh.
But I feel, let me see, let me tell you why I'm being picky with you.
Okay,
Because
that's fine.
and are you okay with that?
Yeah, of course,
Okay. So I'm hearing a little bit of almost you want to hang on to this relationship in a way that makes you more responsible than what you need to be. Do you know? Not want to, like, knowingly, but unknowingly, there's something. You're not responsible for a grown-up man.
I
I mean,
know.
people always tell me, you know, things about my family members, and I say, do you have their phone number? You know, they say, what? I said, like, write it down. I literally told a woman, and Minu knows this because of, you know, of the community. People have always questions. My brother has a very interesting lifestyle, and people have questions about him. Last time somebody asked me, I said, please write it down. She said, what? I said, write it down. 310. She said, what are you doing? I said, his phone number. And she said, well, I don't want his phone number. I said, yes, you do. You have a lot of questions. And I think you should contact him and ask him questions. So that really ended that,
Yeah.
because now I've got an answer that says I'm not responsible. Oh, I have
Right.
questions, ask him, I don't know. And also I made it a little bit even worse. I can be horrible. I said, it is none of my business, but if you're interested, please contact him directly.
Yeah, that's great.
I just had to do it because it was an inappropriate question in my view.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I resigning from that position might be the answer instead of waiting for him to change. That's what I'm trying to say. That would make it more possible for you to feel the way you do. I don't worry if I'm in a restaurant and people are having discussion because that's not my business. But I am worried if the discussion is between my cousin and my brother, right?
Yeah.
Either via text or in person. But when I resigned from that position too, because we hired ourselves for positions that are not helpful for us. Nobody said, Nikki, you're responsible for your older brother, and we want to make sure that he behaves the way he's supposed to behave in our view. I keep saying in our view
Yeah,
because
right.
who knows who's right, who's wrong. But let's say we're right. We always assume we're right. And so it's like, I mean, my famous answer, I don't know. Ask him. I have no idea. Because then I get, so it ruins your experience of being present with your cousin. You made the decision to be there. You probably went out of your way to be there. You canceled things to be there. So why don't you enjoy it? And it's like, I don't know. I don't know. I started doing that even with my children when they were young. Everyone was saying, yeah, why didn't they come? I don't know, kids, kids.
Yeah, that's
Love
what
them.
gets me too, is that you get there and then where's your brother?
Yeah, well, I
Where's
mean,
Ern? I go,
your shoulders
and I
up,
go,
face funny.
I just go, don't,
You
because,
know, I know. You know,
yeah.
when you become, and I've told you that story of we were in a restaurant and the server was really inappropriate. I was actually having lunch with a client, and my client is like, he was just like at a level he cannot take these things. So he asked for the owner actually to come, or manager, but the manager happened to be owner, and he very nicely said, from the moment we arrived, everything has been like this, inappropriate. They did this, they did that. And I really was surprised by the response that the owner gave us. He came close to us. He said, I know. I don't know what to do with her. It's been just so difficult. I don't know how to get rid of her. And so now the problem was our shared problem. It wasn't, and I thought, what a brilliant way of doing it. So instead of, because there was no way you could justify what, the way, and this was a fancy business restaurant, but he joined the group of, oh God, I don't know, you're right. Oh, what a horrible thing to experience. And I thought, that is brilliant. That is brilliant. In a way, if you translate it in a mindful way, not as a strategy for business, but as a way of not carrying this heavy stuff with us, I'm responsible, and especially with family. That's why family is so heavy, because we believe they are our representative. I get so embarrassed if, I don't know, my brother says this, as opposed to as if like another guy says it. But in essence, he is another guy. He is another guy as far as energy is concerned. I don't have a say. If we believe in free will, the free will belongs to everybody. My brother has a free will to be as responsible, irresponsible as he wants to be, as I am to be responsible or irresponsible. So I'm just advocating for your freedom, and I hope you're taking it that way, because I heard you even justifying why he's doing that. And I'm saying even that is carrying the load that doesn't belong to you.
And I mean, I totally agree with you. And I know next time I'm going to say calm yourself. And I knew that's what I should have done, but I was so disappointed, to me it was so disrespectful of him to do that I just said, okay, just put okay in that and leave it, you know.
And it's not so much even what you answer, to be honest with you. I mean, that would be a good thing, but it's how, with what energy you answer. It's like it doesn't, I mean, right in this moment, as we're speaking, I'm sure people are being disrespectful to each other. Do I go to every home and every meeting and every interaction and say, like, you know, do you, that's disrespectful and I can't believe you're, it doesn't, part of our third dimensionality is that corrective attitude that I want to make sure I correct you and I correct this and correct that. And it's like, I don't know. I have no idea. Ask them. Like, even if my cousin came and said, I can't believe your brother RSVP'd, and I say, I know, I know. Do you have his number? Yeah. I would reach out to him because I feel you're very strongly, you know, activated by that. I would reach out to him. Yeah, but I want to tell him, you're telling me, so you can tell me, you can tell him. You know, it's you freeing yourself from all ends. You're freeing yourself from cousin end. You're freeing yourself from your brother end, and you're freeing, most importantly, yourself from your end because you're the one who's holding this, that I thought this was disrespectful. I feel there are a lot of disrespectful things happening in many moments, but I'm not responsible for them. And I just going to enjoy my time. You were present. That was amazing. You could have enjoyed it better, be more present, be connecting more. I'm here. So let me take a good mileage out of this instead of focusing. Because remember, your attention is on disrespect, inappropriateness, and probably a bit of frustration and anger, which tells me you had an expectation that was not fulfilled.
Well,
Which,
you're, it's that hope that he's gonna finally do something, do it right, do, you know, it's that
finally.
hope. Yeah, it's and it's yeah, yeah. So thank you. I appreciate.
Thank you
Yeah,
for
thank you.
letting me say these things, because had you not shared and said that, I wouldn't be able to say it. But yeah, maybe not this lifetime. You know, some people are on holidays in this lifetime, as I always say, and we should always respect that. There are people who have come and they just, like, you know, just like when we're traveling in at 10 o'clock in the morning, that everybody's going to work. We're not, because we're just on a holiday, on a vacation. And some souls have come on a holiday this lifetime. No change. So it's like,
What a
okay, have a good
holiday.
trip.
What a holiday he's on.
What a holiday he's had. That's true. All
Thank
right.
you.
Thank you. Thank you. Who was next? I saw, I think, was it Leila? Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. Hello, everyone. It was so amazing sharing this, because I guess it's common for all of us on this subject. It's like happen every day, for in a way differently from. So talking about fifth dimension and third dimension, in fact, the all practice that we I just did is the feeling that every time we use mindfulness and attentionist method, it takes me to fifth dimension. And I guess that feeling of a door for choice is where we open up the fifth dimension automatically. And this, it was exactly the same feeling that I literally practice in this. I'm going to choose to practice it. But recently I had, even though I have the knowledge, I have all the skills, I have all this awareness, but recently I've been noticing that the changes in my life, which is, I can say it in this way, a lot of more tasks and responsibility come on my shoulders. And that's, again, my choice. I choose to do those. I choose to, because I believe I have to always become better than my yesterday. I have to grow. I have to do this. And then, as soon as I tap into the fifth dimension, why you have to do all these doings? Who tells you to do all these tasks? And then I see myself saying, because you believe if you work harder on yourself and doing this and that, you become a better person, stronger person, become your best version. You always have to be dynamically grow, like universe, all these beliefs, right? And which is good, but in a cost of harming myself, in a cost of damaging my moments, and to the point that yesterday I was very tense, and I feel like I'm doing everything and nobody does it, and the hope that Nikki was referring, the hope that I wish the person did that. I wish, imagine I do all this task and things for myself, and I'm hoping, I wish I don't want to name which member of family, but the close ones, I wish they could do the same thing. Why I have to keep telling them? Why I have to be the example of this? So this is very, I realize, in fact, I like sometimes to be a victim. I wanted to bring that victimhood feeling. It soothes, it's kind of like, I want to be here. You want to be heard by someone else. You don't have that person. So you become your own second person to her. You cry, you nag, you want to be, act as a victim and cry and feel miserable. And then it's as if like you need this process to digest and go to the next step. And as if either I'm hardwired, or is acceptance and feeling that negative feeling. It's like a trend of up and down is what I need to get to the up fifth dimension. I need to feel that. I need to cry. I need to feel I'm victim as if, and then being heard, and then sit down and talk to myself. Okay, what's the problem? You said all these things. You cannot accept this person does the same thing. His story is different. You cannot change that. You either want to continue with all this tasks you put, or you just don't do it. Nobody told you that. Sit back and do nothing. And I can't. I cannot sit down and do nothing. So, okay, what's the problem? Like kind of like this negotiated talk I do with myself when I go to five, fifth dimension. It's like a person. I'm behind the desk. We're talking with each other like that. Okay, what choice do I have? And I said, like, okay, if you really believe this is how you grow, then do it without feeling bad, and do it without feeling that you expect others to do the same thing, because the world is different. You may be to the end of your life in this world, you'll be witness they do nothing as you're nothing, but they're growing gradually in their world that is not in my expectations. So this expectation, it's wrong. Leave it away. Don't, it's their business in a way. But I'm living with them every day. How cannot be this as not being my business? But I would accept that this is their journey. The growth is their journey, and I cannot do anything. And I just come to the, I ground myself with accepting this is my choice to give this responsibility. And if you don't want to do it, just don't do it. And that accepting and admitting this is very hard. So that fifth dimension is just giving me the opportunity to feel understood by someone else, which is that dimension. Oh, okay. But I need and hardwired to also feel victim. And I wanted to be heard by myself. So I guess that experience, even though when we t do tapping, in fact, the first steps you do, you accept and admit that this is very painful, and you say those words of yes, this is bad, and then you change it to that. Maybe that's a psychologically we need it. I don't know, but that's for my experience. I needed that this past couple of weeks. I need to cry. I feel victim, and then shift it back. Thank you for giving me a chance.
Sure. It may not be victim. You called it victim. Maybe it's just a venting. We have that actually in fifth lesson, that venting is a very necessary part of our human experience, because we need to acknowledge, it's exactly what you're saying. It's acknowledging, venting, not complaining. They're two different things. Remember, we distinguish between venting and complaining. Venting has an intention of acknowledging so that we can move forward. Complaining is a state that we get stuck in. So day in, day out, I talk about like, oh my, this and this, they can't do this, and the world is this. So venting is very important part of our energetic growth. I don't know about the psychology aspect of it, but energetically, it's very important because you're acknowledging, you're respecting, you're honoring what you're experiencing. And in that process, exactly how you said it, Leila, you see yourself. So I would like to be heard. I would like to be seen, but can I give it to myself? I'm seeing myself. I am hearing myself. And as a result, I understand what I need to do next. But until I acknowledge it, until I say, call the challenge that I'm facing, give it name, give it form, give it some importance, then I cannot move forward. But it's important to see that it's a state, that it's a, like, not that I want to live there, but it's an experience. It's a transient experience that I want to move through as opposed to get stuck in. They're two different things. So what is not good for a journey between third and fifth dimension is to get stuck in that state. So a lifetime of expectation, and that's why families are the most difficult ones, that because we have practiced so long, like what Nikki was saying, like my brother is also 2 years older than me. So a lifetime I have practiced to be a certain way with him. So it's very difficult and very different than how I show up with Chris, because that's fresh. I can decide. I don't have memories. I don't have, like, whole file full of, things I wanted him to do that he did not do. So disappointments and histories and memories are the reason that are difficult, more difficult to do it with the family. But no problem. Venting is fantastic. You called it victimhood, I call it venting. So you may catch me at a moment that I say, oh, I had a difficult day. It was so this, so that. I had to do this, I had to do that. And then I arrive at feel much lighter and I decided I'm going to have a great day nevertheless. And I did. So they're both true, by the way, because remember, we live in the realm of duality. I had a rough day, hard day, was difficult. It was a marathon. I also was quite present and I also practiced. And I also sort of enjoyed my time. So it's just not getting lost in the venting or victimhood, as you called it. That's the only key, that I don't get lost and I don't make that my permanent state of experience, that I see myself as such, that I am a victim. You won't believe my family. I do everything. They never. When you hear these words in your own mind, you know you're back in the state of fear. They always do this. I never get the chance. Nevering, evering, alwaysing belong to the land of fear and third dimensionality. So, but otherwise, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. I get there with difficulty, but I get there. That's the beauty of it, that I get there because I don't give up on my practice. Easier some days, easier with some people, far more difficult with with family. I don't know if I've ever told you about the story that I went to hear a very interesting person, spiritual person, and I happened to sit next to their sister. And you won't believe the stories I heard. And I'm thinking, are you talking about the speaker? She said, yeah, it's my sister. I made her a bond. You won't believe she's a spiritual. She says, I can't believe it. She took all our inheritance. And I'm thinking, this person on the stage, a heart attack. She said, yeah. I mean, I don't know what is true, but even if 5% of what she told me was true, I was like, flabbergasted, thinking, wow.
Wow, it happened to be next year, and it's like telling all everybody's about it. It's like,
Like, yeah. And my own child, I never forget. We were having lunch somewhere, and one of my clients, the students, this was in Toronto, came and wowed and wooed. I was having lunch with my kids. They said, wow, your mom is so amazing. She must be amazing to live with her. He went on and on. It was a little bit too much. And I'm thinking, oh God, something is going to happen. And my, of course, firstborn turned around and said, please come and join us for one weekend. And that said it all. It's like, see this like amazing person in action, and we tell you how not angelic she is. So it started is, yeah.
We are human, as you said. If you're still here, we are human, and the
Exactly.
third dimension is part of us. We cannot always live in fifth dimension. Is
Yes.
that right?
Exactly. We can't, but we get going there. Thank you for saying that. We're getting all these changes that you see, all this madness that you see in the world, is because it's the time of shifting and birthing. Just like a birth goes through labor, isn't that interesting? Well, couldn't nature make it possible for us to just sneeze and pop out another human being? But it gave us a process of laboring, waiting for 9 months, 9 days, and 9 hours, they say, if it's natural. And then going through hardship and then giving birth. We are birthing higher dimension. That's why you see what's going on.
And we learn as much as we can, stay in that fifth dimension more often. Is that what mindfulness and attention is?
Yes,
Right.
we're practicing more to be. First was to just know it's there. Now we're saying, let's practice. Then we say, can I be more there than here? It doesn't mean that I don't participate in real life. It means I participate with that notion of fifth dimensionality, where I have preferences, where I have physicality, but I'm also playing. This is just a game. We're a bunch of kids, I've always said, in a park playing, and now we've taken it seriously. It's like, it's my ball and it's my doll, and it's, I came here first, and you can't use that. It was like, it's like at an adult sitting there thinking, a fifth dimensional person sitting there thinking, they don't realize it's a game. It's a game. These are toys. Like, we're not gonna, like, these are not real things. So, yeah.
Perfect. Thank you. Put it this way. I have la one question which you can answer me later, so have a chance for others to speak. When I say being mindful and being attentionist, what's the difference in a if somebody is being mindful versus being attentionist?
Great question. So mindful, we defined mindfulness with five kind of attributes that a mindful person is aware, is present, accepting of the present moment, and also curious and compassion. So that's how we defined mindful person. So, but what attentionist is focusing, zooming in on one aspect. In my view, most important aspect of mindfulness, which is really being aware, present, curious, compassion about where my attention is. So it's really it's focused mindfulness, if you like. I've never defined it that way, but thank you for the question. It's focused mindfulness because the reason I chose only attention as a place of focus in the context of mindfulness was because I realized that when somebody tells me where their attention is, which basically that's what they do in a session, I can almost imagine their life accurately. Meaning, where our attention is most of the time is what determines how we lead our lives. That's why I thought attention was the most important part of our awareness. Where is my attention right now? Tell it to me, and then I can tell you how you're feeling. It's almost like fortune telling. So it's a very specific part of mindfulness. And then we get very specific, even. We say, what are the questions that we're asking? How do we change that? And then we get into attention at different levels. But it's like taking the most important part of mindfulness and really zooming in on it so that other parts of mindfulness can become even more possible. But good.
Thank you so much.
Very
Thank
good
you.
question. Very good question. I would like, because I promised that I talk about fourth dimension, and I didn't. I said it in the meditation. So third dimension is the physicality, the realm that we're in. We know that. The fourth dimension is a dimension of thought. It's a thought dimension. It doesn't have physicality. Thought dimension is where ideas are born, where dogmas are born, depending on what we're doing. So it's not a physical dimension. That's why we speak about third and fifth dimension, because fourth dimension is just the thought dimension, doesn't have physicality. But there is few things important about fourth dimension comparing to third dimension. In fourth dimension, there's choice. In fourth dimension, this is the most important one. There is options open that are not open in third dimension. There is paradox in fourth dimension. What does that mean? Paradox means what was true a breath ago may not be true right now. I was very unmindful when I said whatever I just said, but on this breath, I'm going to be mindful. I'm going to shift. Paradox does not exist in third dimension. I say, of course, when they say that, what do you expect me to do? I'm saying I'm firm on that as long as they're doing this or the world is being like this, I have to react this way. I don't have a choice. So choice and paradox, it's a, one is that it's a thought dimension, not a physical dimension. Two is that choice is born in fourth dimension. And three, that there is paradox available to us. I don't need to be like how I was a minute ago, a year ago, a decade ago, a century ago. I can be different. There is this flexibility available in fourth dimension. In third dimension, I am really rooted in my suffering, and I defend them to no end. If you say, do this and that, I say, you don't know my life. You have not been exposed to it. Come and live my life and then tell me. So I'm so, it's exactly what Leila was saying. I'm attached to my victimhood. I'm attached. I almost enjoy it in the way, in a very unhealthy way, because that's my familiar. And I don't like the paradox. I've never experienced the paradox. I prefer the unhealthy familiar to healthy unfamiliar. That's third dimension for you. So people always say, I've always done that. I said, okay, go ahead, help yourself. But I've always done that can only be a transient question in fourth dimension. I've always have done that, yet it hasn't produced the result that I want. So I wonder, thinking, if there is another way. So anytime we're contemplating, anytime that we are considering a different way, we call it awareness, but we really are shifting from third dimension to fourth dimension. So the difference between us, the practitioners, and people that we see as unmindful is just that they are rooted in third dimensionality, and we go between third, fourth dimension, exploring, deciding, and applying it in actual life, fifth dimension. So really, fourth dimension is a dimension of decision. It's a dimension of thinking and deciding what I want to do. And then fifth dimension is application of it. So that's the comprehension level. Remember in the beginning, we talked about identification, comprehension, and realization. Identification is this, that I know, a lot of people know. In the third dimension, everybody knows these days. Ask anybody what they should eat. Ask anybody how they should be. They say, I know I should move and exercise. I know I shouldn't answer that, but I did. So knowing, okay, great, everybody knows. But comprehension happens in fourth dimension. Application of what we know happens in fifth dimension. Hope that was clear. I just wanted to explain that because I started speaking in dimensionality, and I just wanted to clarify that what they are, what happens there. Oh, there is a Minu was saying long time ago when I think Nikki was talking, I feel exactly the same way. So there you go, you have a sympathizer here. All right, let's see. You have a question? Minu, do you have a question? Yeah, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my question. So can we say that the fifth dimension is the neutral state that we talked about 2 weeks ago? Is that a neutral state?
Actually, great way of seeing it. Fourth dimension is the neutral state where you take everything to evaluate. And then fifth dimension is the application. It's not I actually do something, I apply it. But the fourth dimension is that. Yes. Fourth dimension is that I'm sitting there thinking, I said that yesterday and I got into a fight with Minu. It didn't work out. So I can change that. Let me see what are my options. So I'm in neutral. It's really the observation deck and neutral room. That's what I wanted to say. So that's fourth dimension. But the fifth dimension is when you go and apply it. You actually do something. You're not neutral. Now I call and I say, Minu, I'm really sorry. I know I said these things. I really want to rebuild my relationship with you. I didn't mean that, and I don't want to go on that road with you. And I continue doing that, not just I say that, so not apology that we do in third dimension. Like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Or I love you, I love you, I love you. Like, none of it really turns out to be that important in the way I behave from now on. But when we actually make that change, it's the fifth dimension because I'm now changing. So I'm not neutral. I've decided to show up differently. I'll be more present. I'll be respectful about what you're saying. So, but in fourth dimension is where I went to just unfold it. I'm looking at it. I need to be neutral. I can't be activated. I can't have expectation for you to change. I actually need to be very neutral.
Very good. Thank
Did
you.
that
Thank you.
make sense? Did that answer me?
Yes, yes,
Okay.
yes, yes. Thank you.
Good
Thank
question. You're really practicing this. That's why you asked that question,
you.
probably.
Thank you.
One question.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Is it in the following to what you said? Can I say, and from moving from third dimension to fourth dimension, we need awareness, and from four to five, we need mindfulness and then attention, and attention is, can we say these are the steps for going toward the dimensions?
So, yes, let me ask you, why are you stuck between mindfulness and attention?
Because when I am explaining to myself, okay, it's pretty much same idea comes to me, but that's kind of like I'm explaining it in the same way. When I was trying to say, okay, right now mindfulness is the whole idea, and the attention is mainly I'm trying to be attention and paying and put it to the practice, put it in that.
Yes.
So can I say, and the reason is I'm saying this because I share this to my clients. I share this the idea of this from the perspective of understanding it. I have to understand it the way I'm explaining it. It should match to each other, right? So when I am saying these are tools to take you from this dimension to this dimension, because I remember awareness is limited. You're aware. You're too much aware. You remember the class that one of our founders says, "I'm too aware of what I'm not doing," and you said, "This is too awareness. That's the problem." So you're still going from, you didn't say this part, 3D to 4D in a way. So awareness is basically you're going from third dimension, which is just knowledge. This is bad, but I'm doing this bad thing is the awareness. So now from fourth dimension, which you're deciding, you're having the choices, you're evaluating. Now you need to take the concept of mindfulness, which I guess mindfulness can apply to all the dimension, but the attention is where you bring it to the action with attention in it to the fifth dimension.
Yes. And my invitation to you is to make it a simple, because sometimes you make it complicated. You like your mind to get a little bit complicated. My suggestion is that just generally, mindfulness is the context and attention is the application. That's it. So it's like that there's a garden, mindfulness is the garden, and this specific home that we built on the garden is the attention is the garden, the home. So attention is the home and that's a garden. So, all right. Let's see. Carlota had a question a long time ago. I'll ask. Go ahead.
I have a couple now, but just leaving the other one for a little bit later. Mitra, what would be the fool that moves you from one to the other? And I remember a recent conversation we had about compassion, and I was thinking if compassion would be fool to move from one dimension to the other.
The what? I don't understand the word.
The
Oh, fuel. Oh,
fuel.
fuel. Okay.
Please, somebody
The
correct
fuel.
my accent.
No, sorry. I just didn't understand it. Okay.
Okay.
So what is the fuel that will take
Fuel. Okay.
us from third dimension to fourth dimension?
And the from fourth to fifth.
To fifth. Okay.
Yeah.
The fuel for third dimension is to realize that I have a choice. That's it. Nothing to do, just know that, because in the our third dimensionality, we don't say it, but we believe it and live it, that I do not have a choice.
And would you say that not having a choice, if we put it in one word, would be awareness? No, it's not enough. No, awareness of choice, it has to be at least.
It could be choice consciousness,
Choice
yes.
consciousness.
Choice
Okay.
consciousness that I do have a choice. And then
Mm-hmm.
from fourth, to move from fourth to fifth, is that this choice that I can evaluate. So when you evaluate and you realize you have a choice and say, you know, I have
Yes.
the, if you want the words for from mindfulness, is like I have the curiosity to see if it works or not. So the fuel can be the awareness of the choice, as you called it, from third to fourth. And from fourth to fifth is the curiosity to apply it and see how it works. But what you need all along is
Yeah.
compassion. You're right.
That was I was gonna ask if there is
Yes.
not an element of
Yes.
reconciliation with oneself and what
Yes.
it, there, you cannot, no?
Yes.
Okay.
You know
Okay.
why? Because I need the compassion, and compassion being kindness in times of
Yes.
difficulty. I need it when I'm realizing I'm suffering. I need it when I go and look at it in fourth dimension. I think, oh my God, that's an aha moment. People always say, why didn't I do this 10 years ago? It's like, no, don't hit yourself. And 10 years ago, you would not have done it. 10 years ago, if you, I had said it and say, yeah, sure, thank you. And you would have gone home, or you just put it under your email.
Yeah.
You know, everybody does that now. There's a wonderful statement under the emails. But like, you know, okay, as person who's saying all the wrong things, I read their little motto on their email and I'm thinking, oh, okay, that's interesting. So it's, you need the compassion, because we realize when we're suffering in third dimension, we need compassion. When we're
Yeah.
witnessing, observing what's going on in fourth dimension, we need compassion. We think, oh my God, I created all this suffering for myself. And then in fifth dimension, there is no need for compassion,
Because
because
you are
there is
in
no
it, no?
suffering. There is
Yeah.
no suffering. So there is no acceptance needed, because it's a natural thing. It's like saying, make sure you breathe. It's like, if I'm alive, I'm breathing. You know, you don't need to remind me that I need to breathe. So that's what happens in fifth dimension. All these things that we talk about in attentionism, in mindfulness, we do not need them, not because they don't work, but because they have become part of our lives. I am accepting of you. That's why I'm in fifth dimension. I am aware of what I'm saying and what I'm doing because I'm in fifth dimension. Curiosity is the I like your word, the fuel for fifth dimension, because in fifth dimension, I'm playing and creating all the time. Like a child, I'm so curious. I wonder if I mix that with that, like what will happen? Let me see. The curiosity is there. Compassion is not needed. Awareness is a state of being for us. And acceptance is not needed because I don't have any problems with you anyways. What do I need to accept? You know, it's all there. And presence is the state that it is. That's why I can be like that. So there is no past or future sadness and madness and worries about future and regrets of the past. It's the state that we have already created for ourselves. So in that state, we do not need that. Yeah. But
It
curiosity
makes
is there.
sense because you don't need fuel anymore. You kind of arrive to a state.
Exactly. Well, there are more dimensions I have to tell you, but
Ah,
that's
okay, so we can
another.
explore more
There are
fuel.
12 dimensions as far as we know.
It's true,
But
you've talked about it.
the most difficult one is going from third to fourth and fifth. Actually, third to fifth, because those are the physical one. But that's the most difficult. It's like everything is. Have you seen like when you do one task, then you can do a lot of other tasks? It's just one that is the bottleneck. One is the one that stuck you. That the most difficult is going from third to fifth. So, but once we go there, then it becomes easier.
Thank you, Mitra.
I have heard, I haven't been, but I have heard. It's all hearsay. So yeah. Thank you.
And my other question, if somebody wants to pose a question, maybe I can just leave it for later.
Is there another question?
Yeah, it was from the beginning linking to Nikki, but it
Okay.
was like, Nikki was towards brother and the offense was towards somebody else. Mine was relating to my husband and the offense was towards me. So it was similar but different. And
Right.
I appreciate any feedback. It was very funny, very household problem. Like the kid, our kid woke up with pain, back pain in the morning. And I took note, and then during the morning I arranged a chiropractic arrangement so that she can go, and because he was in the city, she could take her and bring her to the chiropractic. So I was doing all the arrangements, calling the chiropractic, telling him. He was like, "Oh, but I'm surfing." I'm like, "Okay, wait, call the chiropractor again." Then he was traveling, so and going into a friend's home. So the same morning, I also arranged that he went and pick up some present for the person he was staying with, and then finally I sent him this like, "Okay, go here, pick up this. This is the time for chiropractic," while I was working. And so he went and picked up the present, went and picked up the kid, and the kid said, like, "I'm fine. I don't need to go. We can go tomorrow." And he calls me from the car and say, like, she's fine. You can call and say we're going tomorrow." I'm like, "What?" Like, after all the arrangements, they make like really space for her because it was kind of like a emergency. And now I'm supposed to call them and tell them, "No, sorry, after calling five times, arranging the hour, she's..." So I got very furious, and I got really angry. He's like, "You're getting angry." I'm like, "Yes, I do. I did a lot of calling and a lot of prep for you to just go there."
Right.
And he said, like, "Well, you know, just call." And I said, like, and then suddenly I had this moment of like, "Okay, breathe." And I said, "You know what? You had their number. You can call." And I hang and I said, "Bye." And then next thing, he calls me and said, like, he sends a message. "We aren't," and he said, "but I cannot go back to school." I said, "You go back and pick her, sorry." Like, I was very like this, and said, like, "You know what? Just you call and cancel." And next thing is a message from him saying, "Okay, I went back, pick her, and we're on our way." So when
And
I
find a way to go to the chiropractor.
The chiropractic. Once I said, like, "Okay, it's on you now," like what you said, like, "I'm not calling, I'm not following up." And then I also found myself sending him a screenshot of all my morning calls and arrangements. And I sent the text to him in very, very neutral tone, said, like, "That's all what happened behind the scenes. For you to just pick up this one thing and take the kid to the chiropractic. I don't say you value it, but at least respect it. I'm sure I'm slipping some non-attention attention is mindfulness attitude there, but I know that I also made some good work in some other place, so that's why I wanted to share like what was good, where I was like.
Good. Good. So you were human, just like rest of us, like Nikki and I and Layla and Minu and everybody else that can relate to this. Yeah. But you handled it well. I mean, but remember, whenever we provide evidence, that means we're defending. I just want to say that because if I'm not defending, just think about where do I supply evidence? In court, right? Okay. What are we doing in court? We're defending.
Defending us.
Okay. And that's okay, by the way. I'm saying this, I just am saying this for the purpose of reference of seeing yourself, not because it's wrong or right. So just remember that defending, there are three things that says I am in survival mode. One is justifying, two is defending, three is over-explaining. So whenever you do that, and by the way, you have every right to be in there. I'm saying these things and saying that the same way Nikki had every right to get really, provoked by that action that her brother did, that you have the same and Layla has the same. So it's not that, but I just want you to know because you are all moving out of third dimension and you need to know when you are in third dimension. And by the way, the moment you see yourself, the moment I see myself in that dimension is the moment that actually my trip has begun. The trip to where? Trip to go to the fourth and fifth dimension. Because without seeing, that's why, as Leila was saying, that's why in AAA, that's why in every way of treating people, the first step is acknowledging. Because the moment I acknowledge, that means I'm observing myself. So when I say, oh, I was in survival mode when I, that is not a, and the tone is very important. That's not a sort of guilty declaration. It's observation. It's observation. That's very important. That, I was talking to her and I found myself in that because I had the need to provide the information, extra information or evidence. And that's okay too. But I just want you to see yourself that defending, justifying, over-explaining says that I am still that, which I have every right to be. The same way Nikki had every right to be provoked, you had every right after everything you had done. I'm not saying you shouldn't. It's not a shooting thing. I'm saying be aware that in that moment, you have a choice to. So first you were reactive, it would have been a fight. Then you pause and you decide to make it much better. And then there is a third option that you say the same thing without the price that you paid. So I'm not provoked and I'm not this. And I just simply say, sure, but make sure that you contact them. Bye. That's it. My phone is off or something like that. And which means don't contact me. I love that. Like I'm going off the phone, So you take care of it. And in the process, it was very interesting what you said. In the process of taking care of it, I think he realized that he needs to fulfill his responsibility. Part of the reason that people have been able to be so-called irresponsible is because the responsibility has been taken care of by somebody else. So when I pick up every time somebody drops something and I complain to them, it's just I'm not allowing them to see it. But if I don't pick up next time and they put their foot on the spilled whatever, then they can see, whoops, this is not good. They may see. I mean, it's not that they will see. Wrong word. They may see because some people are okay with stepping on anything. But there's at least a chance. I've at least created a chance for them to see, and that will make a difference. So, at
Thank
least
you,
for you.
Nisha.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. All right. Let's see. We have 10 more minutes. Let's see. If there is no other question, Christine, do you have any? You came on. Do you have any shares or anything to give us?
Good morning.
Yeah.
I had just a few reflections on really relating to what's been shared in like familial roles with siblings and partners. Just really, really connecting to all of that. And what you just said, you didn't use the word enabling, but that we can enable people to be irresponsible by being overly responsible also, really is helpful for me to hear again. And I got a little distracted trying to re-listen to lesson number five. But what I connected with in the part that I got through, was the, and I've heard, and I'm gonna confuse like feelings and emotions, but that our emotions have like a short lifespan. Like they're like 60 seconds or 90 seconds or something, right? And then we move through them. And having a toddler, having to like, you can actually like live through the lifespan of an emotion to say like, oh, and then it's like, this is going to be over. And also stating like, this is how you're feeling right now. And this is how we can address it, or we can feel it, or what do you need? And then it passes. And so just getting to live into that over and over every day right now is, has been a helpful reminder to me that when I feel stuck and that I'm in my head, I'm in like a permanent feeling state, that I just been able to sort of walk myself through what I walk Luca through, and okay, this is what I'm feeling, this is what I need, and then I can like move on to not become a state. That's what I had to share.
Yeah, thank you. That's a great share. Yeah, they're transient in their essence, emotions. And if you, I mean, perfect example of motherhood. So the feeling is rich, fulfillment, connection. I mean, you can give it anything to motherhood. But the emotion in the moment is frustration and helplessness, whatever you want to call it. But it's just understanding that they don't sacrifice the feeling for the emotions. And that really is helpful, especially in continued kind of a continuous relationships, like family, like motherhood, like, couplehood. It's very, very helpful when we remember that in general, the big picture is the feeling is that, but right now, as a my wonderful teacher, Dr. Rosenberg, used to say, the question to "Do you love me?" is when, but right now, no, I cannot feel it. So as an emotion, I don't have any because I'm provoked and I'm like, I'm disappointed or whatever. But as a state of feeling, as a state, yes, I love you always if you're, whoever to me. But right now, love is not available. Actually, the opposite is available. But understanding that difference allows us, that's why I differentiated between feelings and emotions, because that allows me to see the bigger picture, the permanent picture. And right now I'm really provoked by, I don't know, by my child, by my mother, by my lover, by my, whoever. So thank you for that, Jay. Yes, Chris.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hi. I really enjoyed that practice. It was really interesting because when you invited us to think of a recent time when we were in survival mode, two things came to mind. One was an argument that I had with someone. And then one was last week, I just had a really bad day at work. And in that moment, I realized that survival mode, when I think of survival mode, my mind immediately goes to I'm angry, I'm anxious, I'm depressed. But when I looked at the work situation, none of those things were present. It was more of like a what I'll call a simmering survival mode, grumpy, annoyed, irritated. So it was a nice moment to realize that survival mode doesn't always mean extreme feelings. And the thing that I realized in that moment that both situations had in common was that I was attached to something. You
Good
know,
old attachment.
in the argumentative moment, I was attached to being right. And in the work situation, I was attached to this idea that I would just be happier elsewhere. And, you know, it was generating some suffering. So further into the practice, what a moment that I really enjoyed was my mind drifted to that question, what's really happening right now? And it's such a clarifying, like that question provides such a clarifying moment to see attachment, you know, and at the end of the practice, I just really, you know, I landed fully in this realization that letting go is what all this work is oriented to, you know, just becoming more skillful at letting go.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a great question because the question allows us to know what is holding us back in that moment. You know, we all have different, my teacher used to say, different ropes that we hang ourselves from. So the question, that's extreme, but it's just like, what is my rope right now? How am I hanging myself right now? Because I'm really feeling, you know, suffocated. So yeah, so yours was attachment, good old attachment. And the notion that I'll be happy somewhere else. The problem is you take yourself with yourself everywhere you go. Grumpy here, grumpy there, you know.
True.
So yeah, great. Thank you. Thank you for that share and for that practice. For that practice. It's so valuable when we ask that question. So the question is, can I question it when I am in the midst of my suffering? You know, next time I'm provoked. And believe me, right now it's like full moon. I don't know if you guys are into that, but it's a day before full moon tomorrow. And it's the emotions are intensified. So not feelings, but emotions. So my question is, can I intensify my feelings? So not my emotions. If feelings were the state that we want to be. So if I focus on the state I want to be, so ease, comfortable, loving, whatever it is, connected, and then the emotions have less hold of me. The problem is without awareness, we let the emotions around this time have more hold of us than the feelings that we desire to experience. So, well, look, we have a new student. Lucas, have you registered? I'm not sure if we can allow you to be here. Oh. Hi, Lucas. Hi. Hello. Do you have any questions for us? Hi, good to see you guys. Look at the curious face. Let me zoom on his face. This is so interesting. For those of you who are listening, we have Christine's beautiful son looking at us so curiously, and we are really enamored by him. Let's see. Wow. That's so fascinating. Hi. Hello, everyone. Hi, good to see you. Hi. So great. I can't get over. Look how curious his eyes are. Can everybody see it? Look at that. Like, that's what I want to cultivate in myself. He's fascinated, fascinated by the computer, fascinated by us, fascinated by everything. How do we lose that? How can we keep that? Look, he's found something. All right. Sorry, I forgot I'm teaching a class. Let's. All right, let's unmute and say goodbye. It is exactly 10 o'clock, and we'll see you. Don't forget that we have changed our peer-led pod meetings, and they're going to be more like pod meetings from now on. We are offering more options to you. Now we're going to have three. Every one of our facilitators has a different offering for a different date. If you have any feedback, if there are any particular times or days that are better for you, just let us know informally. Let me know and I'll let them know. But we want to make this continuous because there's a lot of value in you having continuous community, even if it's like three of us and four of you, sorry, not us, you, and you just sit and meditate together and share. I think that's very important to create that venting mechanism that we talked about, and so it's so necessary for our journey from third to fifth. So have a great rest of the weekend, and we'll see you at the end of April. Take good care. Bye-bye. Bye, Lucas.
Bye,
Bye.
everyone. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.
Oh, look, the smile is coming. Bye, everyone.